And so take a moment to allow your body to physically relax, listen into it, allow it to tell you how it would like to be. How it would like to be so that it is relaxed, acquiescing all unnecessary energy to keep it functioning, to keep it alive. Allowing your body to deeply relax. Allowing your emotions to all be here present, and yet allow them to soften. Allow them to soften in knowing that all your emotions here now are welcome. Allow your mind to drop down into your belly. Your belly is like a filter. Your belly houses your umbilical cord. Your umbilical cord is your own very personal, unique to you, parallel to the pathway of birth into the physical realm and of its reverse, which is the ascension. Your belly is like a filter. Your belly is your ultimate discernment. Your belly, more so than any other part of your body, has the capacity to know and to remember. Your belly speaks and thinks, shall we say, and knows in vast realms far greater than your mind can comprehend. Your belly houses universes. Your belly has access to all knowledge. Your belly knows everything and can remember. For a moment, imagine that you are only belly, that your whole body folds back in like an amoeba into your belly, that your belly is all your functions, all your senses, all your abilities, all your knowing, that your belly is you. All of you, nothing left out, everything housed there, everything contained, and able to express itself through your own belly. Your belly is whole, it breathes, and it expresses. It takes in, it checks, it filters, it knows, and then it gives away. It's like a lung, a gill. It takes in, it drinks in, it checks, it knows, it keeps what fits, it lets go of the rest. When it's time, it gives away. Your belly is like a whole organ, like you are one organ. In allowing yourself to become your belly again, you will have the most direct route or pathway or portal or gateway or window parallel to experiencing the state of all energy, the state of union, the beyond. Anytime you like, you can imagine climbing back into your belly and letting your belly reconnect you with the primal experience, the primal memory, the primeval memory of the beyond, the beyond. From your belly, you will have access to knowledge that all things are equal. There's no greater or lesser, no bigger or better, no poor and impoverished, no shameful or blameful, no hero, no worshipped. All energy is energy. All energy. All energy. And just for a moment inside your own belly, if this feels appropriate for you to explore, draw into you all the energy that wants to come in now, discerning it as you contemplate the possibility of inviting it. recollecting into you, into your womb, which men have also. For we are androgynous on an energetic level. Drawing into your belly all the energy that's your energy, all the memory that's your memory. Knowing that the belly relates, communicates, exists in a world of language beyond the awareness of the human mind. Knowing that as you draw back in the energy that's yours, as you reclaim it, some of this may become a conscious experience and some may not. And as you are your belly, drawing into you all the energy that is your energy, allow simultaneously all energy which is not your energy to be released. Just let it go. Give it back. Give it away. You might imagine a spiral and a counter spiral, somewhat like a Merkaba, an energy vehicle. One spiral being bringing your fuel in, your own fuel, your own energy. The other spiral giving away both energy which is not yours and surplus energy that you don't need. Simplifying, streamlining your own being. Just allow yourself to relax for a moment. Just to relax for a moment and to rest. To relax for a moment and to breathe. All you need do to listen to what I'm about to share is to re-engage your discernment. You can be in a fully relaxed posture and state of being. All you need is to engage your discernment. It's the only protection or filter, that's the only valve you need to have in operation. All the rest of your energy can be available for your resting and for your opening up to access your own memory. It is not important that my memory match your own memory. Simply is that I share my memory to be a catalyst for you awakening to reconnection with your own. The ascension process then flowers and blossoms into us collecting together our own unique pieces of the memory. This is how it becomes and is a highly, highly collective process. Collective. Process. Please understand that in using words to describe this next piece of memory, the words by their nature contain it and limit it, which makes it simpler for us to conceive it, for us to perceive it. And yet we must remember on some levels of our being, as we receive it, that we must, upon reception, fan it out again. It's like an hourglass, vast, multidimensional, uncontainable energy funnels in to the crossroads, the eye of the needle, passes through that containment for us to perceive it, and then fleshes out and expands exponentially again. In this way, the inner becomes the outer. This is how our inner beings become the memory. The vastness of the memory, which is larger than our physical form, contains itself momentarily in order for us to re-perceive it. And in entering into us, it then expands to fill us out, to flesh us out, to expand us out from inside out, so that we become a beacon again, a beacon of our own memory. There was a time before time when all energy existed in harmony and total bliss. It was and is to a degree still in another realm, a state beyond concepts, a state beyond constructs, a state beyond duality, a state of all-knowing, so permeable that nothing existed outside of it. There were no boundaries, there needed be no boundaries. All was and all is. In that state of being, there is only energetic nakedness. There is no protection. There needn't be any. There is no danger. There never has been. All energy is safe. Safe is a concept. Concepts don't exist. All energy is. Something occurred and this energy was broken. In the simple memory that I received in seclusion, an aspect, a small fragment of the wholeness, fragmented off, was split away. How this happened is what I and a group have been remembering in recent past. This energy that split off, that fragmented, was slightly less than whole. In separating from the whole, it left a part of itself behind, so to speak. It was, for simplicity of concept and perception, slightly less than whole. It was slightly less than light. It was slightly gray. The part of itself that it lost when it fragmented, when it slipped from whole, was its memory of being part of whole. And was its, shall we say, emotional connection to that memory. For it is primarily through energy, which is emotion, energy in motion, that we can re-access our memory. This energy that, shall we say, slipped from wholeness, wished to be like energies outside of itself that it perceived. It wished to have again the functions of emotion that it perceived in the other energies which it was now separate from. Without its memory, it could not remember that it was of that wholeness. It had been of and amongst those other beings, shall we say. In its limited awareness, choosing to recreate itself as what it perceived in these other beings, though not able to comprehend them as being whole, this energy that slipped away from wholeness could only perceive that it was different. These energies, or for simplicity, shall we say beings that slipped from whole, wanted or longed for the emotional capacity, the joy, the bliss, the ability to have exuberance, the capacity for love, for light, for fun, for play, that they perceived in these other energies that they were now separate from. What happened in very simple terms was that some of these energies or entities or consciousnesses that were of wholeness, though slightly less whole, for in some energies slipping away from whole, it meant that whole itself was now not quite whole. Some of these energies or beings or consciousnesses from the pool, which I'll still call whole for simplicity, volunteered to come down into a sling, what some refer to as an experiment, in service to allow the energies that had slipped to re-access their capacity for emotion, knowing that as they re-access their capacity for emotion, they would become whole, and in becoming whole would recognize their reflection in the beings who had volunteered into service. In becoming whole, these energies that had slipped would come into memory that they were of the whole, and simply, very easily, would return to it. What happened was that this experiment became very complicated for simple reasons. Initially, a number of beings or consciousnesses, though by no means all, volunteered to leave the pool of bliss, of source, of memory, of just is, beyond duality, and enter into what we might call the experiment or the lesser story. In the journey into the experiment, which is on very tangible, practical, physical levels, the realm of space and time, as we primarily know it, the Earth existence, these energies were whittled away into lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser states of being, lesser dimensions. In making the journey into the realm in which this experiment could happen, this reconstruction of the emotional capacity in the energies or beings that had slipped slightly out of light and into what some call darkness, darkness simply being forgetfulness. The only reality of darkness is forgetfulness. Any other perception of darkness is a fabrication. It is untruth. The only real existence of darkness is forgetfulness, is sleep, which is forgetfulness. In volunteering to come into this experiment, to come into a simpler state, a state of limitation, where it would be much more easy for the energies that had slipped from wholeness to reconstruct the capacity of emotion in themselves. The energies that left the state of wholeness were whittled away into a lesser state of being. What this meant was that with each step down into the lesser dimensions, memory was relinquished temporarily, which has become a very, very long time. Capacities, abilities were whittled away, sensitivities, senses, ability to receive and recognize ranges of frequency. The energies or entities or beings that volunteered to come into this experiment therefore arrived, shall we say, into the realm of the experiment, into space and time, in a much lesser state than they existed for all of time before time, in their multidimensional capacity. The whole idea of coming into the experiment was for these energies who had slipped from wholeness, who were slightly gray, to reconstruct the capacity for emotion and to become whole again. It was only the energies that volunteered, that came from Source, to participate in this experiment, who had full perspective of what this meant. The intention was for these energies who volunteered in service to come down to the deepest level, to rebound up, and to carry with them the slightly grays back into Source. What happened, however, was that as these energies arrived in the space-time continuum, a film was created, a film came across their crowns, so to speak, to cut them off from their alignment with Source, meaning that once arrived in the space-time continuum, they were cut off, they were shut in, they were locked in. The practical implication of this was that energies were contained in what the Buddhists call the Wheel of Time. The practical implication of this was that basically those energies were only free to live, die, leave physical form, travel up to a slightly higher plane, and be reborn again. Very rarely have any of these energies or consciousnesses been able to pierce through the veil and ascend higher than the ceiling of the veil. The effect of this has been that almost all the consciousnesses that volunteered themselves into the space-time continuum have been cut off from their memory of Source. The effect of this is that almost all the souls, shall we say, that volunteered into the space-time continuum have become very dense, heavy. They have become more oriented towards the earthly existence, the state of limitation, than they have been to orientation towards the energies beyond. They've come to have more experiential memory, more tangible, recent memory of the space-time continuum than they now have of their memory of Source, of home, of the beyond. What has happened through time is some energies have penetrated through the veil to come into physical form, coming in with a vast, shall we say, package of energy, of Source, the intention being to dissipate that brilliant light across the planet, to spark beings on the planet back into their orientation with divine memory, with light. This has been basically the seeding of religions, all religions having the intention to support and realign beings on the planet back into their direct alignment with Source. The effect of the veil which cut across the birth canal through which all consciousnesses who came into the Wheel of Time traveled in order to arrive here in the space-time continuum at the beginning of the creation of time. The effect of that veil has been like gasoline on a pond of water. If you imagine a stone or a pebble in this small pond of water, and a torch, a flashlight, shining, intending to shine directly on that pebble to enlighten it, to reconnect it with the light within the torch. The effect of gasoline or a veil across the top of that water is to deflect or diffract, fragment, or distort that light so that very little, if any, of that light being emanated, being expressed from the torch, the flashlight, actually reaches the pebble. So little light actually reaches the pebble undistorted that unless the pebble has an active experience inside itself, like a magnet for recall, that allows it to recognize, aha, that's light, that's coming from a torch beyond. Unless it has that memory active inside itself, that pebble won't even recognize that ray, that fragment of light that's arriving at it from a source beyond. Also, because the effect of the film, the veil, is to distort some of that light, that pebble may well have an experience of some distorted light. How can it, without discernment, know the difference between distorted light and pure light from source? The only way it can know the difference is if it has activated within it its capability, its capacity for discernment. So in other words, the effect of the veil was to pollute the energy of source, to either disallow energy of source to access the planet, or, even worse in its implications, to deflect and distort and pollute the energy of source. The whole point of this was to not only keep the consciousnesses alive on the planet in slumber, but to create distortion, dissatisfaction, conflict, warring, suffering, hate. When all of these were created and affected on the planet, the possibility for rebounding out of the wheel of time became very, very, very small. In a sense, the ascension and the process leading up to the ascension is one of strengthening and fortifying the light that we have inside ourselves, the flame inside each of us, of feeding it, of fueling it, of sheltering it, of honing it so that it becomes stronger and stronger, and then bonding together with the entities around us who are doing the same with their own light, so that we become collectively a brighter light that draws into it of its own free will, other lights around us, so that they too add into the light, so that we become on the planet like a very bright pebble. In a sense, what we're doing on the planet is turning the whole story inside out. We are becoming, here on the planet, the torch that will shine up to find our way home. A key part of my ascension vision, my core vision, was this. As energies or entities or consciousnesses volunteered to come into what we might simply call the experiment, they traveled through what became a cosmic birth canal, a birth canal that led them out into the space-time continuum. It's important to understand that this pathway didn't exist until we began to travel it. That space-time continuum didn't exist until we opened up into it. As these energies that volunteered to come from source into the experiment made their journey, they traveled, shall we say, from the state of all that is into multidimensionality or omdimensionality, into lesser dimensionality, and all the way down into the space-time continuum, which we now refer to as third dimensionality. Energy first arrived in what we might call zero dimensionality. It had no dimensionality, it had no form. It had no template even for form. And it evolved into form as we exist now. It is important to understand that the primary concepts or theories of existence on the planet are all contained within the ascension knowledge. The Big Bang theory, the creation theory, and the evolution theory all have a place within this knowledge. Basically, the process of ascension is this: to reawaken to the path by which we traveled into the state of third dimensionality, and to reverse that path and travel back. The only difference between the two journeys is that when we traveled in, we had only memory and experience of Source. When we travel out, we must transmute the weight, the heaviness of what has become our third dimensional memory back into pure energy, so that we are light enough to make this journey. When energies first traveled from Source into the space-time continuum, they came to follow a very specific path which was created as they journeyed. Beyond the eighth dimension, energy opens up exponentially into multidimensional or omnidimensional existence. From the eighth to the third dimension, it is like a connect-a-dot path. There is a very specific canal, pathway, birth canal, through the cosmos, shall we say, through which all energy traveled here. As energies traveled from Source into what was to become the space-time continuum, it was somewhat like the story in Hansel and Gretel, where breadcrumbs or blueberries are left behind so that Hansel and Gretel will know their way home later when they choose to return home. Very similarly, as a pool of consciousnesses who volunteered to make the journey traveled from Source, as they arrived at what might be called the eighth dimensional portal, or opening of this birth canal, one of the beings, shall we say, that had traveled from Source volunteered to stay at this place of the eighth dimensional opening for all of time, to be the anchor of that opening, to house or keep, to safe keep, to steward, like a lighthouse keeper, that opening for all of time. That might be referred to as the eighth dimensional gatekeeper, or the god of the eighth dimension.